Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere, you know, where we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe with a different host and a different focus. This week, our subject is theology. The question, do we still hold these truths to be self-evident? Question mark. Today, we welcome our distinguished panel of experts, EWTN's Vice President of Theology, always with us, Colin Donovan. He is in our theology studio. We're also joined by the host of EWTN Radio's popular show, Call to Communion, Dr. David Anders. He's with us in our Irondale studios as well. And finally, we're joined by moral theologian, author, papal missionary of mercy, and EWTN host, Father Jeffrey Kirby. He joins us from his studio in South Carolina. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Catholic Sphere. Appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to kick off with a couple of quotes. Came out of something that happened about a month or so ago on the political realm that kind of crossed over into the theological and philosophical realm. The senator from Virginia, Tim Kaine, who is a Catholic, made a comment saying that, and I'll read what he said, the notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the Creator. Well, that's what the Iranian government believes. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our government is extremely troubling. Now, that's what he said. Now, another gentleman from Virginia at one time said this, and I wanted to play off between these two. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was a gentleman you may have heard of, Thomas Jefferson, in the Declaration of Independence. So I'll start with you, Dr. Anders. What are your thoughts about a Catholic senator here in the United States indicating that he thinks our laws are based on what the government and decides they are, and now specifically our rights, actually?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Well, I think the senator is obviously ignorant of the American tradition and the Catholic intellectual tradition as well. And he might be surprised to learn that the whole discourse on rights, rights as a concept in moral thought, is a Catholic invention. And you know, before the 16th century, you don't really hear much talk about rights. You hear some talk about law. It was a Catholic theologian, Francisco de Vitoria, who really develops the discourse on the concept of human rights, in particular in the context of the conquest of the Americas and the question, do indigenous people possess a kind of inherent dignity that that the conquistadors have a moral obligation to respect? Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't have to be a Christian to recognize the concept of human rights, but it is a historical fact that the discourse emerges in a Christian milieu because it's essential to the gospel. I mean, the Jesus's fundamental message was about recognizing the dignity of other people regardless of their social status, their racial status, or ethnicity, their whether they're male or female, whether they were outcasts, you know, from whatever the social hierarchy was, and doing unto those, including the hated persons of one's enemies, what one would have done unto oneself. I mean, this critical insight, which is central to Jesus's message, mm-hmm. is where the idea of human rights come from, which is really an application of that idea of human dignity, that everyone has an inherent dignity. Well, you know, if you remove a transcendent referent for that dignity, then the word is empty. It doesn't mean anything, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we have a dignity because we're made in God's likeness and image, and we have this transcendent point of reference. We can seek to know the truth about God and ourselves, and everyone has that. That's what makes us human beings. A critical figure in American religious and political thought, obviously Martin Luther King Jr., when he writes his letter from the Birmingham jail, he's able to invoke the idea that some laws can be, on the face of it, unjust. And I think everyone in the United States is more or less joined in a kind of consensus mm-hmm. that answers to a basic intuition that we all have, that there's something that it is to be just, that is something that transcends the political order, the legal sphere, that laws can rightfully and should be critiqued in light of that. Mm-hmm. And of course, if laws derive from the government, if they simply derive by legislative fiat, then the idea of a law being unjust makes no sense. You can have there's no standard above the law that you could appeal to criticize mm-hmm. them. So it's obviously a very ignorant remark.
Right. And go to Father Kirby on this. Apparently, one of the comments also was that Senator Kaine had spent time in Honduras, actually, on a Catholic mission at one time, and said, I learned that, you know, basically the people's rights depended on whatever the government felt they would be and not on anything higher than that. But that's a misunderstanding of your rights versus maybe living in a totalitarian state.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was just surprised by the senator's comments, not simply because he is Catholic, but I was surprised by his comments because he's an American. Mm-hmm. And as you quoted at the beginning of the show, Doug, our founding fathers are pretty clear in terms of where our rights come from. Mm-hmm. But let's just put this in context. As Americans, we rebelled against our sovereign, George III, and we appealed to the nations in order to plead our cause in terms of why our rebellion was justified, was morally right, and we appealed to the Creator and to the dignity and the rights that He has bestowed upon us. And so for an American, especially an American senator and a Catholic, who, as was pointed out, is the recipient of a vast intellectual tradition that has developed the concept of human dignity and human rights, it's just shocking. It's almost like, am I watching a spoof? Did this person really just say this? And then to compare the understanding of dignity and human rights coming from our Creator with that of Iran or with the chaos of Central America, it's just misplaced. And obviously, I hope just some type of political jargon, because I would hope that the senator would understand mm-hmm. both our American tradition as well as our Catholic tradition, because it's precisely by asserting that God is Creator, that He is the one who bestows the rights, that is how we ensure equality. So if we were always relying on positive law and the laws passed by man as a basis for rights and dignity, well, we have seen sad displays through the course of human history of how our right. fallenness manipulates those laws, and how oftentimes we can use law even to oppress vulnerable and weak people. I mean, simply look at the laws right now, the unjust laws in our land, in terms of abortion.
Right.
And, of course, there are so many other examples. I also wanted to just cite the letter of Dr. Martin Luther King from, letter from a Birmingham jail, where he actually quotes Thomas Aquinas mm-hmm. to make the cause that our rights come from God, that laws must blend with the reason and the goodness mm-hmm. of God in order to have credibility.
Right. You know, Colin, there's another quote here from James Madison, who said, the future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which the Constitution is founded. Because sometimes people like to say, well, God isn't really mentioned. Mm-hmm. He's mentioned in the Declaration, but not in the Constitution. That's James Madison making that point. Do you think also, and I wanted to ask you on this, sometimes it seems like people take for granted these kind of underpinnings that come from Christianity and the understanding of what dignity we have from the Creator, and take them for granted and think they're just that way and that they can't be taken away mm-hmm. when a government, people like to throw away Nazism constantly all the time. Well, obviously, lots of people's rights, at least 6 million of them, were clearly taken away.
Yeah, and Kaine makes that mistake as well, because, as you noted, he refers to the Iranian government as an example, a bad example of how, well, if it comes from God, then look at the Iranians and their form of government and the way they oppress their people, and you're saying that God created that. And if you sit all these people around a table from different religions, they can't agree on what the rights coming from the Creator are. Now, the element of truth in that is that certainly it's historically true, and the Church has acknowledged this, and especially during the medieval period, that from the intellectual tradition, you could say, including of the Greeks, and the Jewish tradition of divine revelation, and the Christian tradition of divine revelation, we have got an ever more purified, and you'd even say exalted, idea of the nature of man and the nature of life and the question of justice as as David mentioned, and DiVittorio has applied in for the indigenous peoples. And so, yes, it is certainly true that you can't sit 10 or a dozen religious people from different traditions around a table and agree on these things. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the American tradition. We're talking about the Judeo-Christian tradition upon which that is based. And a particular view which is developed within that, especially the Catholic view, as David alluded. And so it is a very specific view, and I think when you take all of that into consideration, the American experiment makes no sense apart from it. And I think the way the politics have gone in the last several decades illustrate the truth of that, as more and more people no longer recognize this historical, both national and universal tradition which has developed in the West over the course of 3,000 years.
Right. Dr. Anders, as was mentioned before, the idea of, I think it was Father mentioned, legal positivism, and the idea that kind of like people make the law, and people often refer to the United States as a democracy when it's really a republic, and the idea that just because the majority of people decide one thing doesn't mean it's true. And in a straight democracy, you're in a situation where the majority rules. And if there is no dignity that comes from the Creator, then they can decide whatever they want to decide. They can decide that slaves have no rights.
Yeah, that's true. And I want to follow up some more on the idea of legal positivism, mm-hmm. implied in the senator's remark, because when he said religious people can't agree on the nature of the right that we possess, I think he's thinking in terms of the fact that different systems of divine revelation propose different ideals for the human person. And that's not what we're talking about. It's not an issue of, you know, what purported revelation says about human dignity or human rights, because the Catholic position is that rights as they're embedded in society don't have to be derived from special revelation, right? Mm-hmm. That in fact, Pope John Paul II made this point extremely clear. The Christian tradition does not propose a juridical order from revelation to be imposed on society. When we say that rights come from God, we're not saying the only way you can know human rights is by consulting, say, the data of the Bible or the Quran or the Sharia. We're not making mm-hmm. that point at all. Rather, we're saying the gospel informs us that humans have a dignity in their reason that enables them to discover the truths of the natural law by their embedded social lives and the use of their reason in society. Mm-hmm. And so it's not human positive law that makes rights, it's not governments that declare them, nor is it simply divine positive law that reveals rights. It's natural law, that is to say, it's the exigencies of our nature embedded in the created order that we can rationally discover, and we do this in community and by consensus in our historical embedded condition, right? But what we're looking for is a principle that would hold regardless of what government is in power or what purported revelatory authority declares it to us, because we want to have a basis on which to say, no, that's unjust, right? And if it's only positive law, then the will of the legislator, whether it's divine or human, simply is the rule of justice. And we're not making that point. We're saying it's quite different from that. There's something about the nature of the human person, mm-hmm. the nature of human society, that is from which we can derive a concept of justice from reason. And from them, we can critique other systems of law, positive or otherwise, by whether or not they meet that standard mm-hmm. of justice.
So, Father Kirby, let me, to play off of what Dr. Anders just said, so why do you think, since that seems to be the mode of operation in a lot of, let's say, a more secular view of society that we're dealing with probably today, maybe postmodernism, there's so many examples where this kind of thought process has led to what's happened in China, what happened in the Soviet Union, what happened under Pol Pot, what happened to the Nazis. Even people like to throw fascism around all over the place without necessarily even understanding what they're actually talking about. But the idea of that so many times this is seen to have been such a disaster that when you lose those underpinnings, that ability to say that I am a person who has rights because I have the dignity given to me by my Creator, not by the premier or the person in charge of the party. Why don't people see that, do you think?
Yes, I think an answer to that is we just go to our fallenness. It really is shocking. As fallen human beings, we oftentimes can look at a problem and blame the solution as the cause of the problem. Again, that's just a sign of really how fallen our minds can be, because you look at every case. Let's look at, for example, in Iran, you're not going to have people claiming, an Iranian claiming against, the religious authorities that they have dignity from God. You're not going to find that. You're not going to find that under fascist or totalitarian regimes. It's precisely to claim I have dignity from my creator that is actually the very force that stops tyranny, that convicts totalitarianism. It unmasks it and ultimately is the solution, the authentic solution, to these fallen concepts and systems of oppression. So it really is very disturbing. And the fact that we see in our country this attraction, especially among young Americans, towards socialism or forms of communism, what they don't realize is they think they're fighting fascism, they're actually promoting fascism, and yet they don't see that. And ultimately, they don't realize, the one thing that has always stopped fascism and totalitarianism in its tracks has been the declaration of a human being, I have dignity that's beyond you. I have dignity beyond your laws. I have dignity given to me from my creator. And it's precisely that understanding that allows people to stand up against totalitarianism, even sometimes at great price. And so you would think that someone would be so obvious, something would stand out as an obvious fact. And I think the reason why it doesn't is our fallenness, but also, of course, we can point to social institutions. So the university system, our systems of education, our cultural leanings, our entertainment. You're not going to find a whole assertion or a real fair historical summary of the fact that we have our rights and our dignity from the creator. You're not going to find that message asserted or made appealing in our popular culture today. And that's regrettable.
Right. Let me ask you, Colin, because one of the points you made in our prior discussion for the program, you were talking about responding to some of the statements, even the follow-up that Cain said, who said, I'm a strong believer in natural rights, but I have a feeling if we were to have a debate about natural rights in the room and put people around the table with different religious traditions, kind of what was said by Dr. Anders before, there'd be some significant differences in the definitions of those natural rights. But you mentioned the fact that there was a question in your mind because you believe his era is focusing on it as a theocratic idea of nature and God's nature, but missing the philosophical one. What did you mean?
Right, and that's largely what is, I think, underpinned a lot of thinking, not just by Catholics, but also in the medieval period, you had Jews, Muslims, and Catholics looking philosophically at the nature of reality and making judgments. Precisely because we have built into us the capacity to do that, that our rationality, as has been said before, enables us to look at our nature, to look at what is its purposes, what is its objective, what is the way that we achieve human happiness, how is it that we, in other words, bring out the best of our nature and direct it towards worthy goals. And thinking about those things, you can draw certain conclusions, and over time, that's certainly been done. And my point about the traditions is I think that Judeo-Christian intellectual tradition, as well as the philosophical tradition that goes back to Aristotle, and it comes to Catholics at least through Aquinas, it gives us a framework in which to look and see that we are able to see in our nature a law that comes from God. So it's not that we are looking for the Creator's revelation. But as was said earlier, philosophically, we understand our nature. And in our nature, we discover what the Creator built into us. Now, that doesn't take a particular religion because we're all the same. And ultimately, the goals and the force of human nature is identical in all, unless it's corrupted by vice and other behaviors, or co-opted by an ideology, whether it's a religious one or a secular one. But it's that it's that unity of our nature and the ability of our rationality, our reason to get to the truth of what brings it to fulfillment, what satisfies and fulfills it. And I think within that Western tradition, you find that, and the more you depart from that, the more you start to deconstruct that tradition, which started with the Reformation but continues with Descartes and others, to the point where today philosophy in the 20th century at least, and I'm guessing continuing into this century, is broken up into multiple subjective versions of that. We talked on a previous show about critical theory and how that does that. But all of these things are working against the ability to see with clarity the nature of man, his purposes, and the true nature of human rights.
Let me ask you, Dr. Anders, I wanted to read this quick quote from an article. Somebody had responded to Senator Kaine's comment and was kind of focused back on Lincoln and looking at, in a sense of saying, what would Lincoln think about these statements as well as one of the great fathers of the Americas. He mentioned the fact that to suggest otherwise in the fact that these are rights that come from its creator is to reduce our rights to mere privileges, revocable at the regime's discretion, a position Lincoln would damn as an invitation to despotism. Drawing on his Peoria speech in 1854, he would argue that Kaine's view echoes the moral relativism of Douglas, Lincoln Douglas, popular sovereignty concept, which allowed majorities to define justice and therewith to make slavery legal in any new state that voted for it. Lincoln rejected this, insisting that the Declaration's principles provided a standard maxim for a free society. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the criticism is just, obviously. And, the distinction between between rights and then privileges, it reminds me of a story that I learned, that I heard from a seminary professor of mine when I was back in seminary. I was in the Protestant seminary at the time, but they still had some interesting things to teach me. And it was Professor Carl F. H. Henry, who's a very well-known evangelical theologian, and he had been teaching or preaching someplace, I think, in the Eastern Bloc. And one of the government officials mentioned in a public discourse that we have religious toleration for all of these groups, and Dr. Henry jumped up very quickly and he said, yes, but toleration is not the same thing as rights, and he put his finger on the neuralgic point, right? That I might decide it's politically expedient to tolerate your eccentricities. But at the heart of the Catholic vision of reality is that we have an inherent right. You don't just tolerate it. You're obligated to respect that I have an intrinsic right to seek the truth about myself, about God, about life and society, to worship God in the public sphere, not just in the privacy of my home, to bring up my children in that religion. And so tolerance and privilege don't respect those things. They see them as maybe necessary evils until such time as they can be done away with in society. In the context of the Civil War and the battle for slavery, over slavery, it was very much about privilege, but it was about the privilege of the slaveholders to advantage themselves at the disadvantage, of course, of enslaved peoples.
Right. Let me ask you, Father Kirby, obviously you talked about, as did I think Dr. Anders, about Francisco Suarez, and anybody who watches Father Spitzer's Universe has heard that name mentioned many, many times because he quotes him all the time because he's a Jesuit, of course. And John Locke built on Suarez's ideas to formally articulate the natural rights to life, liberty, property, which influenced, of course, Thomas Jefferson. I was wondering, sometimes... Is there a sense in the world we live in today as we kind of ignore the Lord and we kind of start to believe, well, there is no such thing as original sin, so people are basically tabula rasa good, and so there's an innate way that they will just do the right thing. And so these kinds of understanding the dignity of each other, that's just the way it is. It's not really something we get from God. It's just innate in our human beings because we're just basically good people.
Yes, yeah. And Doug, I think it might have started in that way, but I think it's actually gotten a lot worse in more recent times, in that, you know, there might be a general sense now that a particular person's group or camp would eventually do the right thing, and that the others who are not in that group are a threat. And now there's no longer an understanding of dignity or mutual respect or civility. And so we have this time of, tribal association, this retrieval of this type of tribal identity. So if you're not a member of my tribe, if you don't think as I think, if you don't adhere to what we propose, well, then there's nothing that you have that I have to respect. Mm-hmm. So I can hurt you, harm you, destroy your reputation. I can cause harm to your property. I can do whatever I need to or whatever I want to up until the point of arrest in order to basically silence you or to have you change your opinion or to dismiss yourself in fear. And so I think initially there might have been a time, the great lie of the Enlightenment, this natural goodness of man, mm-hmm. and that we can eventually on our own without the assistance of divine guidance can kind of come to these conclusions on our by ourselves, or we'll eventually come to what is right. I think that may have carried for a few generations, but certainly I think mm-hmm. that in more recent times, I mean, the 20th century is called the century of tears by Pope St. John Paul II. And I think it's continued to digress. Mm-hmm. And so we see cancel culture, and we see identity politics. And this is all, very nice ways of saying we basically have returned to barbarism, and that, mm-hmm. I have my tribe, you have yours. And again, you don't have dignity. You don't have rights. It's my group. We're going to rally, and we're going to intimidate you, and we're going to make sure that laws are changed so that we can be the ones who punish. And the idea of that we're going to eventually reach some type of goodness or something, who cares about that? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what we want is what we're going to get. And so I think that we see even a more aggressive push in more recent times.
Okay, very good. We're going to have a leave it there, gentlemen. Lively conversation. Thank you so much, Colin Donovan, as always, Dr. David Anders and Father Jeffrey Kirby for being with us today. And we thank you, as always, for joining us. And don't forget to join us next time, next week, right here on the Catholic Sphere. See you then.